I realized that my period was due and it didn't come. And I was like, okay, that's pretty normal. It can be irregular sometimes. A week later, still hadn't come. So I did the tests and I'm about 7 weeks along and I don't really know what to do.
Warning, adult content.
The Hookup, love and f***ing on Triple J.
We all know it's a woman's right to choose what she wants to do with her body. But if you decide to have a kid by someone you hardly know, should you tell the father? I'm Nat Tenchich, and soon you'll hear from a relationship therapist and a philosopher talking through all the different decisions you might make and the ethical implications of them. But first, Lucy from Perth got in touch with us, and she told us she was faced with this issue. She was dating this guy, and things were going great until the guy told her he never wanted kids. Want to guess what happened next? Yep, now she's pregnant and doesn't know whether to tell the father. She spoke to Hookup producer James Findlay.
Yeah, I met him on Tinder and I was at a party and he was out and I was having a crappy night and I was like, what are you up to? And he's like, nothing. So we met up and went for a drink and then basically spent 3 days together with only toilet breaks as time apart. It was like, we both said to each other, we're like, oh my gosh, I've never felt this before. Like, it was like having your first love.
But things didn't stop after the three-day love fest.
So we'd text every day if we didn't get to see each other. And then on the weekends, basically, we were inseparable. Within like a week, I met pretty much half of his friends. We had plans for him to meet my parents and such, yeah.
After a week?
Yeah, after a week.
So you must have been feeling pretty on top of the world.
Yeah, I was feeling like, holy shit, like, this is probably the one. Like, this is probably it for me.
When did you decide that you wanted to talk to him about kids?
I think I told him probably the first weekend, honestly. I probably mentioned it. It probably came up and I said, yeah, definitely want kids in the future.
And what did he say?
Like, we just skipped on to another topic of conversation really quickly and that was left for another couple of weeks, that conversation.
And what happened a couple of weeks later?
He came over and he was like, I feel like if we continue our relationship, you will either leave me for somebody who does want kids because I really don't want kids. And I was like, yeah, kids are pretty non-negotiable for me. And he's decided that he would rather have the heartbreak now than a couple of, you know, years down the track when those sort of decisions would actually be affecting us a bit more. I got a message the next day after we had that chat and he basically said, I don't think that we should continue this. I don't think that it will be happy. I think you'll end up resenting me. I responded and I said, okay, can we like chat about this in person? And never heard back.
Lucy was shocked. Their relationship was moving super fast and they even talked about moving in together after just a couple of weeks. Lucy wanted to stay friends, but he deleted her off all the socials and pretended that she just didn't exist. Then after a few weeks, Lucy realised her period was late.
So I did the tests, inconclusive. Did blood tests and I'm about 7 weeks along and I don't really know what to do.
How did you feel when you got the positive pregnancy test back?
I first felt what this would mean for my life. And then I started thinking about how it would affect my family. And I know my parents would be ecstatic, but at the same time, they would not be too pleased with a single mum in their family. And then I realised that I can't contact the father to let him know. And then I thought, does he even want to know? Now I'm trying to decide, I guess, whether to tell him, whether it'll complicate things and whether he wants to know or whether he doesn't.
And do you know if you want to keep the baby or not?
I think I've come to a decision and I don't think I will be keeping it, no. I still, I guess, hold out hope that I will find someone who I can co-parent with and have those lazy Sundays in bed with the kids, so.
If you contact the father and he'd say that he would want to keep it, would that make your decision different, do you think?
It would definitely make me rethink my options.
Because I guess, you know, the reason why you broke up is because he didn't want to have kids.
So. Yeah, I know. Like, is that irony? Or, like... like
if Alanis Morissette was writing Ironic right now, this scenario would be in it.
I know, right? Yeah, exactly.
Well, Lucy, thank you so much for sharing your story with us on The Hookup.
Thanks for having me, James. And to anybody else who is going through this or who has gone through this, you are not alone.
The Hookup on Triple J.
Right now, we are joined by Jenny Douglas. She's a couples and family therapist from Relationships Australia, New South Wales. Jenny, welcome to The Hookup.
Oh, hi, Nat. Lovely to be here. Oh,
thank you so much for joining us. So you would have heard Lucy's story just a little bit earlier. What might be your first step when you find out you're in this situation?
Well, probably the first thing is not to panic because... clearly, this was unexpected news for Lucy. And so, like any big dilemmas that we have in life, we should take a deep breath and try and get a bit informed and rather than do something reactive or impulsive, just think about what do I need to know to make a good decision and reflect on that, work out the pros and cons. I mean, clearly Lucy's in a dilemma because part of her, I guess like a lot of us, hold a sense of at some point in our life we might want to have a family, but we also have an ideal about what that would look like. And in this circumstance, the guy that she'd hooked up with had a different life vision and wasn't likely to be buying into Lucy's vision, so they didn't have a shared vision. So already, you know, you're going to struggle in a relationship when you don't have a shared vision or you don't have shared goals. It's not to say you can't get on the same page around those things, but if they're really miles apart, then that's going to be hard to make a decision together because you're coming from two different places.
Yeah, well, I suppose a large part of what makes this situation so difficult is because there's one person who maybe has a lot more power in the situation and it's not a together type conversation. So how can that sense of responsibility really weigh on you as a potential mother?
Well, I mean, interestingly, most women, even if they, you know, there's one of the fastest growing groups who use fertility treatment, single women who choose to be solo mums, but even they have often a big dilemma about letting go of what they might hold on as their ideal family, which is to have a partner to raise and support a child, because this is also somewhere there is some decision making to be thinking about what you'd want for your child, and most parents want the best. And so if they're not in a circumstance that can support that ideal, and even with Lucy, you know, it sounded like she had a supportive family, chances are she'd want to bring that same dynamic into the life of any child that she had. So I'm sure that was part of her dilemma about in knowing that the guy that she was with was never offered that. It really would have caused, it would have been far away from what she would have really hoped and dreamed her family might look like.
Yeah, and it seems that kind of nowadays you'd have more control than ever over those sorts of decisions. Like you said, more single women are taking up fertility treatments. It's more and more common to make a choice about this at a time that you prefer. But I suppose it's the how much you want to involve the father in that conversation and how much should you involve the father in that conversation?
Well, I think, you know, if you were to take purely the individual right of over your own self-determination over your body. I guess, you know, in the first instance, people would say, well, it's a woman's right to choose whether she proceeds with the pregnancy or not. And that's, you know, that level of self-determination is certainly... There is nothing to compel her to tell the guy that she was with. I don't know whether she would call him a partner. They certainly were in a relationship together. And you certainly can proceed to have a termination without informing your partner. So part of the decision would be what are the benefits of that? Would that person actually put undue pressure on you to go against your own wishes? You know, that is commensurate with the relationship that you've been in and how the meaning of that relationship and also the investment in the future. Because I also heard in part of Lucy's dilemma was that to proceed with the pregnancy would have ended the relationship anyway. So it really is at odds with, you know, if her hope was for them to have a more committed relationship, the pregnancy was going to be at odds with that. So, you know, at the end of the day, she would hold the decision making process, but I think then it then creeps into that whole thing. Well, what do I owe somebody I've been with? What do my own morals and my own moral compass tell me I should do in terms of sharing that information? When should I share it? How much should I share? You know, there's a lot of different decision making points in that.
Mm. Lauren from Central Coast, you were in a similar situation to Lucy, who emailed us this week. What happened with you?
I was just casually seeing a guy, not for very long, and things fizzled out and we stopped contacting each other before I found out I was pregnant. And I took a couple of weeks to think about what I wanted to do because I knew that he obviously wasn't, you know, interested in pursuing the relationship any further. And I took the few weeks and I spoke to my family and my friends and I ended up making the decision that I wanted to keep it, whether or not he was interested in being part of it or not. And so then I had to make the decision of whether to contact him. And in the end, I did. And I just said to him, look, I'm not looking for a relationship. Obviously, that ship sailed. But if you would like to co-parent, you know, as friends, that would be okay. Otherwise, I've made the decision not to abort, but, you know, I think it's unfair that I'm the only one that gets to make that decision. So if you would like to figuratively abort it, there's that option too. And after a couple of weeks, he ended up making that decision. And at my 12-week scan, I texted him and just let him know I'd had the 12-week scan and everything was still, you know, the baby was okay and I was going ahead with everything. And he basically said that he definitely made the decision. He didn't want to be a part of its life, and that was the last contact we had.
Does he reserve the right to change his mind at any point, or have you allowed that door to stay open?
No, I had to, for me not to have him on the birth certificate, I had to pretend I didn't know who the father was.
Mm.
otherwise, they'd chase him for child support and all that kind of stuff. So if in the future I know his name, but nobody else does, if in the future he wants to contact me and you know, and if he's decided he's made the wrong decision, obviously that's a step that we'll have to, a bridge we'll cross in the future if it ever does come about. But his opinion basically was that he didn't want children, and there was a reason why he was, you know, 30 something without kids, because he didn't want ever to have them. So
yeah,
I don't think that'll ever happen, but, you know, that's just a bridge we'll have to cross if he does decide that later on.
And what I can hear with you, Lauren, too, is that you also thought about your own capacity to raise a child. You have the support of your family. You also, that was part of your decision-making as well. You reflected that you could do it on your own. Of course, some women may be in a circumstance where without a partner's support, they haven't got the support network to have a child, or they wouldn't be able to proceed on their own either way, even around proceeding with a termination, because they may not even have the financial means of...
Yeah.
So can I just ask... Go on.
No, I was just going to say, I think that in relation to Lucy's question about, you know, whether she needs to tell him or not if she aborts, I think that having him as a support network, if he was to be supportive of it, obviously if he's so against having kids, he might actually be really supportive of her. You know, he might be able to help her out financially or be a shoulder to cry on for the day or the week if she does go ahead with the abortion.
Yes, I'm sure that informs people's decision-making too in the telling. What are they able to bring to the process? Will they, in fact, be able to offer some support? Because, either way, whatever decision you make, it's always better to have the support of someone around you if you can, rather than to face these things on your own.
Yeah.
Lauren, thanks so much for the call.
That's okay. Thank you.
I'm Nat Tenchich, and tonight we are talking about what you do if you find out you're pregnant with someone that you're not necessarily going to stay with. It might be a one-night stand. It might be an ex. It all started because we heard from Lucy. She's a listener from Perth who got in touch because she got pregnant by her ex that didn't want kids, and she did. Now she doesn't really know what to do. And Lucy did wonder about her moral obligations to her ex in this situation. So we're still with Jenny Douglas, couples and family therapist from Relationships Australia. But right now we're also joined by Dr. Matt Beard from the Ethics Centre. Dr. Matt, thanks for joining us on The Hookup.
Good evening. Pleasure to be here.
So what are the moral obligations in this situation, just to open it up straight away at that point?
Yeah, look, I wish I could paint a kind of chart on a whiteboard that made it seem really straightforward, but the reality is a situation like this is incredibly complex, and even as soon as we start saying, well, we need to think about this in terms of obligations, we've already started to make ethical decisions, because obligations are a really strong term, and they suggest that if we don't fulfill our obligations, then we're doing something that's really seriously wrong. So right at the start, we kind of need to dive into some really complicated questions, but we can start to unpack this in a few different ways. And the first question, I guess, to wrestle with is, what does it actually mean to be a parent? And when does someone become a parent? Because we think that parents have some kind of rights around information about their children, around decision-making about their children, but is this prospective dad a parent yet? Becomes, the very first and really deeply philosophical question we have to ask.
Yeah, well, I mean, does intent matter? Because when you say that, I think about, sperm donors, for example, who might not necessarily consider themselves a parent. But if you went into a situation without intent of becoming a parent or do you then give up your potential parenthood?
Well, it's one thing to say that you give up your parenthood as though it was just this shiny and wonderful thing that you could get, and then you had your privileges taken away. But, speaking as a parent, parent is also a bucket load of responsibilities as well. So, and there might be some responsibilities that we want to hold people to, even if they said, well, I didn't intend to do this. I mean, imagine the amount of men who would opt out of paternal responsibilities if all they had to say after a hookup where someone got pregnant was, well, no, hold on, I didn't intend to become a parent. It would become a really easy threshold for people to be able to opt out of something. So intent is important, but it can't be the only consideration here. There has to be more to it than that.
But should someone be able to opt out in that sense? Because, we heard Lauren's story a bit earlier about how she gave her partner or the father the option to opt out, and he did. He figuratively aborted the kids and didn't want anything to do with it. So is opting out a right that we should be able to offer people?
Look, there's been some debate around this, and the term that gets thrown around within different groups is what they call legal abortions. And the argument from some groups who are concerned with men's rights have sort of said that, well, if men don't have a say in whether or not a child is going pregnancy is going to be terminated, then perhaps they should have the right to abstain from any legal obligations, but also any access or privileges that they can legally abort their pregnancy. And in most cases around the world, that right is an argued right, but it's not legally supported in any way. So that's one of the challenges here, is that on one level, you know, we might say, well, someone has given you permission to wash your hands of these responsibilities, but a court might not see it that way, mm-hmm. and a family might not see it that way, and you yourself, if this father learns about this later on, will he actually see it that way if he hasn't actually been given the choice? Because part of the dilemma here is whether to inform or not, because we're doing a lot of assuming here about what the decision would be if this guy were to get the information. And that's partly because he'd said, well, I'm not interested in kids, but these were hypothetical kids, and now we've got a reality in front of us. And a lot of ethical problems over the decades have been arisen because people made assumptions about how people would respond. And sometimes it's valid to make an assumption, and sometimes we have to make a choice purely on the basis of assumption. But also it's good to know when we're making an assumption and whether it's possible to obtain more information.
Well, Jenny, what do you think about that argument as well? Because as we were just saying to Caitlin and Lauren before, that, you know, anticipating that there might be a bad reaction would definitely play a role in your decision-making process.
Yeah, I guess part of the dilemma is that we can't legislate. Even when a father has, or a partner has stayed in with a, to be a parent, we can't legislate people to be committed or attend and bring their commitment to that child. That's so, you know, in that way, the law doesn't really help us, which is probably why family law is always going to be very limited, because we can put in all the court orders we like, all the legislation, but at the end of the day, it's up to people's own sense of the meaning of what it means to be a parent and what they want to bring to that process. I guess the question, you know, you brought up the issue about intent, and sometimes we have, you know, things happen that where we have an unintended impact or an unintended effect. I don't think you completely can opt out from taking responsibility just on the basis that we didn't intend something to happen. If our behaviour has a consequence, we still, I think, do have a responsibility to attend to the consequences and impact and in some way.
Just to add to that, we can give really straightforward examples to flesh this out that have to do with relationships already. You know, lots of people might say that, you know, they never wanted to have to care for an elderly person, but they have parents and their parents got old and they have responsibilities towards those people that they never chose. Mm. Or we have responsibilities towards our siblings. And we've kind of got this idea at the moment because choice is treated as being so important for us in a liberal society, that if you don't choose something, then you shouldn't have to carry the costs of those things. But the reality is that we are thrown into a huge set of relationships to which we have some obligations that we may not have chosen. Now, there's a question as to whether that applies to this particular scenario, but I think it's worth painting some of those ideas as some of the backdrop here, that not everything in life is going to be a product entirely of our own choice.
Frank from Stafford has called in. You say you'd like to know if you got someone pregnant.
Yeah, that's my personal thing. Like, I would definitely stay and support it, be part of the child's life, but in the case of like the dad not wanting to be a part of the child's life, like, I think they are responsible for whether it's a fail of something or both parties chose not to use protection. There's still a responsibility, because you both chose, there was that risk, thus makes you, I guess, essentially liable, or I don't know the words to use, I guess, but, you know.
Yeah, and just as Dr. Matt said, yeah.
Yeah, and if the woman chose to abort it, me personally, I would probably, if I would be there for her, but I would definitely be hurt if she did choose to do it. That's just me, essentially. But I feel like if the father didn't want to have anything to do with it, there has to be, like, some consequence. Like, there can't be any sort of scot-free thing, like for the, maybe something like the metaphoric abortion for the father, there should be, I reckon, maybe like a cost, maybe equivalent to what an actual abortion is, or some other financial support, like a one-off support, I guess, maybe, I don't know.
Mm. What,
Yeah.
What do you say to that, Matt?
Well, I think one of the things that Frank touches on here and a really useful ethical rule of thumb is just the golden rule. How would we want to be treated if we were on the receiving end of this situation? And sometimes it's useful to reverse the position and say, well, you know, if I were on the other side of this, would I want this information or not? I think that's something to bear in mind. I think it's really important that we make a very clear distinction here, though. It doesn't necessarily follow from informing this father of what's happened that you're actually granting him a say in the decision-making process. And we can pull those two things apart. And I think I wonder if some of Lucy's concern is that, well, if he feels very strongly a particular way and I inform him, then it's going to make it more difficult for me to make a choice that he's not satisfied with. And I think it's useful to pull those things apart and say you might have a right to know something but not have a right to actually influence that decision. And that seems to me possibly to be what's happening here. I think that there is a long precedent of saying that, look, a woman's right to her own body and the fact that a woman will absorb the majority of the emotional and physical toll of carrying a child to term, that there's a range of reasons why we would want to give women primacy over that decision. But that doesn't mean that there isn't an impact that decision has on this guy and that perhaps his voice need to be heard, even if it doesn't have veto rights or a swaying judgment. So I think if you throw those two things together, it can make this choice harder than perhaps it needs to be if it's very clear that those two things are torn apart. But it's still a really tough one.
Frank, thanks so much for the call and thanks for getting in touch.
No worries. Thank you.
It's The Hookup on Triple J. I'm Nat Tenchich and I'm still here with Jenny Douglas, who's a couples and family therapist, and Dr. Matt Beard from the Ethics Centre, talking about what you do when you find out you're pregnant to someone who might not be sticking around. Should you tell the father? Should you not? And what are your ethical and moral obligations in that situation? Ricky from the Sunshine Coast, you're a dad after a one-night stand, but you don't know the kid, but you say it's changed your life. How's that?
Like, the grateful thing was she told me before she was having the baby, which we had the option of choosing what we wanted to do with it. And I told her she had the option. I said I won't stand in the way of what she wants. And a few years ago I gave up the alcohol, I gave up the party life, I gave up the drugs, the cigarettes, just so I could see my son one day when he grows up at my door, because I have not made contact with him, so... Yeah.
But you're sort of anticipating that that's going to be inevitable, that he's going to come find you at some point.
Exactly. Well, I'm counting on it. You know, and if he doesn't, I'm still going to be morally happy that he's still there, and it's his decision also. So it worked out for her because she loves the child just as much as I probably would have too. But yeah, it's a difficult situation for me. Because I do want children now, so, yeah.
But it sounds like you've really used this as an opportunity to be the best man you could be. You could have pretended to yourself that this child didn't exist, but you've actually, it's taken on meaning in your life now, and you're working up to be not just a potentially a positive father figure to this child, should they ever come and find you, but for any future children you might have.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Ricky, thanks so much for the call and thanks for getting in touch.
Yeah, you're welcome. Appreciate it.
Best of luck. I'm Nat Tenchich, and I'm joined by Jenny Douglas, who's a couples and family therapist, and Dr. Matt Beard from the Ethics Centre. We're talking all about what you do if you find yourself pregnant to someone who might not remain in the picture, be it an ex or a one-night stand. We were talking to Lucy, who is a listener who emailed us over the week to ask what she should do. She's in a situation where she was with her partner and her partner didn't want kids and she did. So they broke up over it, only to find herself pregnant. And it's really brought a lot of sort of issues to the fore here. Got a text on 0439 757 555. It just reads, a shout out to all the queens out there trying to make some tough decisions. Whatever you choose is right for you. My heart goes out to you if you're feeling any pain or stress over these decisions. Great chat. It's clear this is a tough issue and everyone's circumstances are different. Love and compassion to all. I really like that. And it's definitely the case. I think no matter how much we talk about this in abstract, Matt and Jenny, it really is a case-by-case basis here.
Yeah, look, it often is. It often does come down to particulars and we need to pay attention to differences. There are often some general rules of thumb that can help us and that we might say can apply across the board. That's where, you know, coming back to something like the golden rule that, you know, treat other people the way you'd want to be treated, you know, that's something that we can say applies across the board. And sometimes those general rules of thumb can be really handy to come back to. But a lot of it will vary based on the individual and based on circumstances and a kind of the sort of weighing of the different things that are at stake that can only be done by the person who is in that situation. And what you've just got to hope is that the people around them provide the support and that they've had the kind of experience to be wise enough to weigh those things appropriately. Because it is going to ultimately be that this person in this situation is the one with the best access to all of the information. And we can play armchair philosophers and psychologists all we want, but it's not something that we can answer absolutely.
Julian from Wollongong, you grew up not knowing your dad. How's that affected you?
Yeah, g'day, guys. How yous doing?
Good.
Basically, I've pretty much had upbringing with a lack of sense of identity. I didn't know who I was or my surroundings, who was more part of my identity, I suppose. There was a caller at the start who really sort of said that she gave her partner the chance to opt out. However, what you're also doing is giving your partner the chance to opt out, but your child's then left with that gap, not knowing or no idea. My mum, she really did fight for that chance for me to have an idea of who my partner was, who my father was. And I know it's in the sense of child support stuff, but I really do believe that the way she went about trying to include me in it and not exclude me from the whole, this is what's happening, this is what's going on, she really did try and make it so I had choices along the way, even though I suppose looking back, children are really helpless victims in a whole lot of it. And, I just want to encourage everyone to sort of either A, be part of their child's life, like one of the gentlemen speaking tonight, or push for the other party to be actively involved in the child's life. It's really important that we got that parenthood and really important for kids' upbringings. So, it's just, I've turned out all right. I'm a decent enough person, but there's so many people who really just, my brothers also came from similar circumstances. They sort of knew their dad. There's a fair bit of an age gap between us, but a father leaving and not having anything to do with the children can be really difficult for kids.
Yeah.
One thing that parents can do is kind of serve as a bit of an existential anchor that, you know, they connect you to a sense of history, and that can be a kind of a history of family, a history of community, a history of race and nation and identity. And absent of those things, that can be very difficult in terms of some of those larger questions around kind of, you know, what it means for people to flourish or live an ideal life. And that's a sense of kind of often where they've come from. But there can also be really practical implications for some of this. And an analogy is to anonymous sperm donations, where people can be wandering around not knowing how many half-siblings they might have. And that can give them a really strange sense of kind of alienation and displacement from their communities, because they don't necessarily know where they stand or who they're connected to. Now, balancing that up against people's rights to privacy and individual choices, again, is something that, you know, we need very experienced head, and we need to take, you know, very slow and wise kind of thinking about these kinds of things. But it's often the thing of slowing down is that we can call attention to some of the unexpected consequences of the choices that we make. And just having a full-rounded picture of the decision we're making is invaluable when we're facing these high-tense situations.
Mm. Julian, thank you so very much for the call. You're listening to The Hookup on Triple J. Nat Tenchich here with you. And a big thank you, Jenny and Matt, for joining us. And, yeah, thanks for your thoughts on this topic on The Hookup.
Pleasure. Thanks so much.
Pleasure.
We've had a large conversation about the moral and ethical implications and how it impacts you emotionally. But what are your rights legally? Right now, I'm joined by Antonella Sanderson. She's Principal Solicitor for Family Law Matters, and she joins us on The Hookup. Antonella, welcome.
Thank you, Nat. Thanks for having me.
We're hearing from different people that it's like, well, I'm just, it's just genetic and I've opted out and I don't want to have the right. Can you legally opt out of responsibility for a kid?
Well, look, again, tricky one to answer there. Let's take the situation that Lucy finds herself in. So in this scenario, if Lucy doesn't reveal to her ex-partner that she's pregnant, the ex-partner will never really know. And therefore, he's not even got the opportunity to have a say or opt in that respect. If she does tell him that she's pregnant, but from there on he chooses not to have a part in the child's life, then that's not really the end of it there, because, of course, Lucy will have the opportunity to name the father on the birth certificate. He may not consent to that. He might not sign off on those documents. But certainly, usually what happens is he'd be contacted, and certainly from the perspective of when Lucy might reach out to Centrelink for some pension payments or parenting assistance. And Lucy will find herself under a bit of pressure to reveal who the father is. So from that perspective, if it gets to the point where Lucy does reveal and, you know, the partner might get a phone call saying, are you aware that there is a child and that's been born of your relationship? And if he says yes to that, then he'll be in a scenario where he'll have child support assessed against him. That was something that Matt referred to not long ago, in terms of even if you've been in a relationship and you've said to the lady, look, I really don't want to have this child with you, I want to opt out, child support will say otherwise.
Now, what if he gets the call and he says no, that he wasn't aware, or... what can he say? What recourse is there?
Yeah. Well, certainly if he says he wasn't aware or he's disputing that he's the father, then of course that, from the Centrelink or child support perspective, will pretty much put a lid on that. If he denies being the father, the only way there would then be for Lucy to take the steps to force him to be involved. So Lucy would have the option of bringing some proceedings through a court in order to have her partner acknowledged as the father. If he refuses to sign the birth certificate, if he refuses to admit that he was biologically the father, then there is that court process in order to have some DNA testing and to confirm, in fact, that he is genetically the father. From there, child support again would be able to be assessed. Now, on the other flip side of that, it's not all about child support only, of course. The other part is that the father would then have that opportunity to look at getting some parenting arrangements in place, so he would have the ability to participate in making decisions. Like Matt mentioned before, it's all about what's in the best interests of the child. So he'd have some ability to make decisions and spend some time with this child.
Mm. And what if the mother is not interested in that happening? I mean, I guess that's the whole caveat of not having them involved or saying there is no father. As soon as you put the father there for the sake of child support, you have to allow them those visitation rights and that sort of thing?
Well, let's take a two-pronged approach here. So if there's a scenario where in Lucy's situation, if she chooses not to reveal who the father is. Now, we've already heard about the ethics of that, so I won't get into the ethical part. There's certainly no legal obligation for her to let the father know. And although the law well, the law requires you to disclose it. The law can't force Lucy to disclose who was the father. If Lucy's choosing not to make that revelation, then no one's going to stand over her with a stick and force her to make that disclosure. But what that means, like you said, is that Lucy would then have sole parental responsibility for the child. She'd get no financial assistance from the father, but she'd have the right to make all the decisions that are necessary to raise this child. And that includes things like obtaining an international passport and travelling overseas. There's no requirement then to go and get a signature on the passport from the father. So that takes the first prong of if Lucy decides not to make the father known. The second prong then relates to if she does make that known, then of course the law says that it is in fact the child's right to know and be cared for by both their parents. And as Matt indicated before, it all boils down to the court making a decision about what's in the best interests of the child. So in circumstances where the father does want to be involved and that does occur, even if, for example, Lucy doesn't reveal who the father is, even if Lucy doesn't tell him that he is about to have a child, through social media or mutual friends or somehow or another, if that man finds out, then he could be the one to bring the application before the court to actually want to spend time with that child and be involved.
And he'll be able to do that.
Yeah, he'll be able to do that. As I said, the court's view is that it's the child's right. The child should know and be cared for by both their parents. And unless there's some real risk to that child, if, for example, if the ex-partner was severely drug or alcohol affected and could not be responsible enough to spend time with a child, that's another story. But if there's no risk here for that child, then absolutely the court will want to make sure that child knows who both their parents are. Like we heard from Julian earlier, there's a huge problem with a generation of children who have been born through fertility, through fertility services, that don't have that identity with their biological parents, and it's causing a lot of mental anguish and distress to them.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Antonella, clearing up a few really sticky questions there.
Thank you for having me, Nat. That's been really fun. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If there's something you want covered on the show, send it in via the hookup at abc.net.au or via Facebook. Just search for the hookup on Triple J. Plus, if you're loving what you're hearing, give us a rating wherever you find your favourite podcasts. It'll help other people find the show.